And thanks to our band. Thank you all for being here today. Seriously, thank you for like finding a parking spot and making that happen. I apologize for the extra aggravation, but we do greatly appreciate your presence with us today. Today we are starting a brand new message series. For those of you who are newer to Hope, this is what we do. We often do these message series. Is that how you pluralize series? I don't think so. But so we take a topic, we take something from Scripture, and we talk about it for a number of weeks. And so if this is your first Sunday with us, hey, you're in luck because we're starting part one here today. And so it's a three-part series, so you just have to show up for the next two Sundays and you'll get the whole thing. So how about that? That works out great. So this series, as you see from the back of your bulletin, this is called Between Two Masters, The Problem of Unidentified Greed. And so yes, we're talking about greed today. This is a message about greed. This is a series about greed. And I thought we'd take we all kind of know what greed is. I thought we'd take a look at the actual definition of greed as defined by the dictionary. Thank you. There it is. So that's greed for us. And what's it say? Greed is a selfish and excessive desire for something. A selfish and excessive desire for more of something, such as money, than is needed. A desire for more than what you need. That's greed. So that's how the dictionary defines greed. Now, when I say that word greed, when you hear that word greed, what pops into your mind? Is there a person that pops into your mind? Is there a situation you could think of? Or maybe you're like something happened at work and you're all, you know, pitching in and giving some money for this cause, and that one person is like, well, I'm not giving to that. Do you think of something like that? Do you think of your employer? Do you think of a family member? Do you think of somebody stingy in your life? Do you think of somebody who is maybe being greedy towards you and you needed their help and they weren't generous and they could have been generous? What do you think of when you think about greed? I'll tell you what I think of. There's one guy that immediately pops into my mind when I think about greed. One guy, he's so greedy, he's such a miser. Yes, I use the word miser, I apologize for my language. Just a greedy, greedy guy. And I'm going to tell you his name. I don't think he would mind because he's fictional. It's Ebenezer Scrooge, okay? Ebenezer Scrooge. All right, show of hands. Who knows who Ebenezer Scrooge is? Is there anybody who does it? Okay. Isn't that amazing? That was written like 1840-something, published in 1840-something, written by Charles Dickens, The Story of a Christmas Carol, The Story of Scrooge. And yet to this day, we know who this guy is. We know this character. Notoriously greedy individual. I grew up watching the movie version of The Christmas Carol, just called Scrooge, starring Albert Finney. It's the musical version. Anybody seen that musical version? He goes around, I hate people. Did you see that one? Like the three of you have seen that. That's my impression of Albert Finney as Scrooge. But yeah, I watched that growing up. I thought that was the only version that there was when I was a kid because it was the first version I saw. Our kids watched the Muppet version with Michael Caine as Ebenezer Scrooge, right? So that's fun. But we know this character. But there's a line. There's a line that Scrooge says, there's a line in that film and in that book and in this story that speaks to the nature of this character, and it really speaks to one of the problems that we have when it comes to greed. There's a scene that unfolds, you know, and Bob Cratchit, he's asking for, that's his name, right? He's asking for Christmas Day off, right? It's Christmas Eve, and he's there working for Scrooge, and 7 o'clock rolls around, and he's still there, and he very sheepishly asks, Could I have tomorrow off? Give them one Christmas off. They want them all. And so he's asking and he's pleading, and finally Scrooge says, very well, take the day, but be here all the earlier the next. And so Bob Cratchit, he's expressing his gratitude. Oh, thank you, Mr. Scrooge. Thank you, thank you. You're very kind, is what he says. And this is what Scrooge replies. He says, it's my weakness. I am a martyr to my own generosity. That's what he says. I am a martyr to my own generosity. The greediest man in London, is that London? It's England, it's certainly. Yeah, the greediest man, probably in all of England, he doesn't see himself as having a greed problem. He sees himself as being generous, right? Here I am, I'm going to pay this man a day's wages and he's not even working for me. My goodness, I'm a victim of my own generosity. I'm a martyr to my own generosity here. And that's one of the problems that we all have when it comes to greed. I mean, if you would have asked anybody who knew Scrooge, right? I know he's fictional. If you would have said, hey, is that guy generous? No, he's not generous. He's greedy. Greed, it's so easy to see in other people. It's so easy to identify, but it's next to impossible to identify in ourselves. We don't think of ourselves as greedy. We don't see ourselves as struggling with a greed problem, with a greed issue. So that's one of the problems when it comes to greed is we don't see it. We can't see it in ourselves. It's one of these things that we can't see in ourselves. Now, other people might see it in us, but we have a very difficult time seeing it in ourselves. Here's the other problem with how we perceive greed or how we think about greed. We think about greed as being a rich man's problem, right? That's something that the wealthy have to deal with. Greed, you know, that's a thing. That's an issue for wealthy people because the wealthy people, they have the money and they want more money. And so this is a wealthy man's problem. So that's the other problem that we have when it comes to greed. We think of it as a problem that's not ours. It belongs to the wealthy, right? It's the wealthy people, the rich people. They're the ones who struggle with greed. Well, that's just not true. See, the thing is, and there's a couple problems with that. The thing is, we never, you know, I know a lot of wealthy people, but I don't know anybody who considers themselves rich. I know a lot of rich people, but if you say, well, I'm not rich. Because how we define wealth, how we define rich, whoever has more than you, well, they're rich, right? Whoever has more money, they're the ones who are rich. I'm not rich. They're rich. And so we see this as somebody else's problem. I'm not rich. It's a problem for the rich. But that's just not true. Greed is a problem for everybody. And actually, I believe that every single person in this room, every single human being that's walked the face of the planet has had to deal with this heart issue, the issue of greed. Greed does not discriminate. It's a problem for the wealthy. It's a problem for the poor. However much or however little you have, there is a greed battle that goes on in your heart, whether you realize it or not. There was a movie that came out fairly recently called The Big Short. Anybody see that? Big Short. And so I heard about that movie. Some of you have seen it? And it, by the way, it's too many movie references for one message. I apologize. I'll work on that for next week. But I heard about this movie coming out about the financial crisis back in 2008 when the housing bubble burst. Whatever that means. And so our country went into a recession and all that. So I heard about this movie, wasn't really interested in seeing it. Then I heard Christian Bale was going to be in it, a.k.a. Batman. And so I'm like, all right, well, I'll watch it. And so Holly and I, we saw that movie, and it was pretty tough to understand. I mean, I'm not very literate when it comes to that whole world of finance and how these things work, and you talk about loans and bundling things together. And so, but really, it's a movie about greed. And how this whole disaster happened, how this country went to a recession, how all these people lost their homes, and how that impacted businesses, and how people lost their jobs, and how all this happened. And it started with greed. And so basically, I'm going to attempt to give you a layman's explanation of a layman's understanding of how this whole thing happened. Are you ready for this? And so that's what this movie, and that's really what the movie is for. It's trying to explain the situation to people who aren't part of that world of finance. And so you had these little banks, and you had these mortgage brokers who were working for these banks, and they would really be pushing these mortgages to people who are, you know, individuals or couples who are looking to buy a home, you know, for the first time, and they'd sit down with that mortgage broker and see, well, what can we afford? Can we take on this loan? And these mortgage brokers, so many of them were being dishonest, so many of them were corrupt, and they were pushing these mortgages on people who just could not afford to take them on. Just couldn't afford to take them on. In fact, Holly and I, we have a friend and her brother and his wife. They ended up in this situation. They're sitting across from a desk. There's a mortgage broker telling them, oh no, you'll be able to pay this back. And they're looking at the interest rate, and they're looking at, well, this number of years, we got to pay this much a month, how are we going to do that? And he said, oh, don't worry about that. That's in the future. By then, you'll be making more money. Don't worry about it. And so many people, so many people ended up in that situation where they signed up on these mortgages. They said, yeah, we'll pay this money back, even though it was incredibly risky and made no sense for the banks to be offering these mortgages in the first place. But the mortgage brokers were doing this so they could take all these mortgages, bundle them up, and sell them to the big banks, right? Is that like enough of a layman's explanation? That's basically how it worked. They did it because they could make money off of it. And so here we have another example of the wealthy taking advantage of the poor. That's putting it dramatically. Or you could say like the relatively wealthy taking advantage of the less wealthy, put it that way maybe. And so it was greed that motivated this whole thing, and it went on for years, and there was deception, and people looked the other way, and these people who should have said, stop, this is really risky, we can't be giving out these mortgages, the people who are never going to pay it back, they're all going to lose their homes, and once that happens, what are we going to do? But nobody pumped the brakes on this because of greed. People saw this as an opportunity to make money, to take advantage of somebody else, to lie to somebody else in order to make some money. That's greed. But I tell you what, you think of that scene, how things unfold with, you know, sitting across the desk from a mortgage broker, and the mortgage broker's on one side and the couple's on the other side. And here's what I need to tell you about greed. Greed was on both sides that desk, because he had so many individuals, so many couples who signed off on these mortgages knowing, this doesn't make sense. Signed off taking on these loans knowing, I don't think I can pay this back. And yet, I want this. I want this house. Everybody my age has a house, and I want a house too, and maybe it's a bigger house than I can afford, and maybe this is a bigger mortgage than I can afford, but I've got a guy from the bank telling me that I can afford it, so I'm going to say yes to this because I want it. What's greed? A selfish and excessive desire for more of something than you actually need. And so there were several people, couples, individuals who maybe needed to stay renters for a while or maybe buy a smaller house with a mortgage they could afford, but greed got the best of them. And so here's the point I'm trying to make, that greed is the problem, but it's not just the wealthy taking advantage of the poor. The poor also, or those of us who are less wealthy, however much or however little you have, greed is an issue for all of us. This thing of wanting something more than you actually need. I want more of something than I actually need. That's greed. I got to tell you this story. There was back when I was in high school, which was just a few years ago, right? Ridley High, go Raiders. Nobody? Really? All right, wrong crowd. I always alienate half of the crowd when I say that. Hey, I live in Edinburgh now, so go Bucks. Okay. There, we got a response from that. All right. So I was in high school, and there was this dude who went, man, this guy, he was in my grade, and he was one of these teenage thugs. You know these guys, right? He's one of these punks. Some of y'all were teenage thugs back in the day. But he's one of these guys. He's kind of a bully, but not really. Just kind of a nasty dude and, you know, barely passing his classes if he passed at all. Just kind of rude and disrespectful to the teachers. Well, this dude, he had a rich daddy, all right? And so when this punk, this little thug, when he gets his license, his daddy, who was wealthy and very into cars, right? So when this dude gets his license, his daddy buys him this ridiculous sports car. Oh, my goodness gracious. Over the top. I don't remember the maker model. I just know what it looked like. It was ridiculously awesome. Did you ever have that experience? Anybody? Like, there's always that one kid in high school that has a really, like, what are you doing with this car? And so we would talk about this guy, and in my heart of hearts, I felt like, this little thug, he doesn't deserve this car. Are you kidding me? This dude is rude, he's a punk, he's barely passing, he's one of those dudes sneaking off into the forest and drinking Natty Light or whatever they used to drink, but you know, okay, some of you. Anyway, this guy doesn't deserve this fancy car. If anybody deserves it, it's me, right? I get pretty good grades. I'm a pretty decent student. Okay, maybe I'm a little lazy and didn't apply myself, but I'm pretty, A's and B's for the most part, maybe not in math. But I'm not drinking and I'm not, shouldn't I get a nice car? Don't I deserve this? Here's the thing. We can't have a real conversation about greed if we're not going to mention greed's best friend, envy. Oh, we got it, envy. They're also very good friends with pride, too, okay? Pride, like, visits envy and greed all the time. They all hang out. They're three peas in a disgusting little pot, okay? And so there was that thing there. There was the envy. Why does he get to have this and I don't? There was pride. If anyone deserves it, it's me, which is not true, right? And there's that greed. What is it? Wanting, look, a selfish and excessive desire for more of something than I needed. That was more car than I needed. I mean, I had a car. Well, sort of. I had access to my mom's 86 Ford Taurus. That was all I... And yes, if you're wondering, I did look very cool driving it around. Yes. You can just imagine when I pull up, the ladies would be like, is that a Ford Taurus? You know? But even that was more car than I really deserved. Right? And so there's that greed, and sometimes greed gets mixed with envy, and sometimes that gets mixed with pride. And it's like, do you really need that car? No. Do you think you deserve that car? No. Are you envious? Why are you envious? What does it matter to you? What does it matter? I got to tell you, I wasn't going to tell you this, but I got to tell you this. Anyway, that kid, he got into a big car wreck, right? He was fine. The car was totaled. And so all of us in high school were like, his daddy just bought him another one. He was like, oh, no, he got another one. Oh, so we got two really, anyway, that's how that story worked out, right? But that's the thing about greed. It can be sneaky. We can call it something else. We could think of it as something else. But if you look at the definition, it's this selfish desire. You want some more of something than you actually need. Sometimes that kind of morphs into this whole issue of entitlement. I mean, that's been, it's kind of like one of these buzzwords, or at least it has been over the past few years, this thing of entitlement. People, they believe they're entitled. Not only do I want that thing, not only do I want more than I need, I think I'm entitled to more than what I need. Really? And it's just part of this human condition. And it's part of living in a world that's just not fair. I mean, going back to high school, I think about those days where you'd see, one of my peers and their parents had more money than my parents had, and so they got nicer things than I got, and they were able to go to school and have somebody else pay for it, and I wasn't. And I would look at that situation and say, well, that's not fair. Why do they get that advantage and I don't? And the truth is, that's not fair, but that's just life. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? And so sometimes we feel like things are not fair. Sometimes in our efforts to try to make things fair, we feel like we can kind of, well, I don't want to get too much into that whole fair thing. That's a different topic. We'll save that for next time. But that's the thing about greed. It can morph into entitlement, and then you start to feel like you deserve things that you really don't, that you deserve things that you don't need. Greed is an issue for all of us. If you want to know whether or not you've got a greed issue, take a look at these verses that are in your bulletin. This is from Proverbs. Take a look at this passage from Proverbs chapter 30. Just a couple verses here. From the book of Proverbs, most of the Proverbs written in this book were written by Solomon, the wisest man on the face of the earth before Jesus came. Wise King Solomon, renowned for his wisdom. This particular problem was written by a man named Eger, which I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, but he's not here, so he can't correct me. But this man who wrote this proverb was most likely one of Solomon's advisors. That's one of the things we learn about Solomon, is the wisest man who walked the face of the earth surrounded himself with other wise people, with counselors, okay? And so this is some of his wisdom. And what you hear, what you see in these couple verses here, is we see a prayer, we read a prayer, we hear a prayer that he speaks. It's a very bold prayer, kind of a strange prayer, kind of a scary prayer, and so he's asking God, this is a request, two things I ask of you, Lord, do not refuse me before I die. Now, Father God, while I walk on the face of this earth, while I have breath in my lungs, I'm going to ask you for two things. What would you ask God for? Two things, what would you ask for? Here's what he asks for. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. My goodness, this, I feel like we keep talking about this issue at Hope Community Church. Oh, there's so many voices out there in this world. There's so much deception. There's so many people trying to take advantage of you. There's so many people trying to, just have a little bit of, just take advantage of you in some way. Just twist the truth a little bit. And so that's his one request. Request number one, keep all this nonsense. Keep all the lies far from me. Here's his next request. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. In other words, give me only what I need. My goodness gracious, why is he praying that? I mean, the first half of that second request I get, don't give me poverty, right? I mean, if I was going to pray that prayer, I think what I would say is keep lies far away from me and don't let me be poor. Amen, right? But he says, give me neither poverty nor riches. Why? I mean, why? Why ask, keep riches far from me, oh Lord? Why? Here's why. He talks about what could happen to him if he's impoverished, what could happen to him if he's wealthy. He says, otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and dishonor the name of my God. And so again, looking at this issue from both ends of the spectrum, the poor have to deal with this greed issue, and maybe I need something, maybe I don't actually need it, but I want it and I think I deserve it, and maybe that would kind of tempt me to cheat it out of somebody else. And so don't give me poverty, don't give me that, but then there's the other issue. Don't give me too much. Don't give me wealth, don't give me riches, or I may forget about you. This is a big problem for Christians in America, is we don't rely on Jesus because we don't have to. We've got our bank accounts to rely on to keep us safe. We've got our savings, we've got our IRA, we've got a pension, we've got a 401k. I've got all that. What do I need Jesus for? I've got it covered. And I know we don't articulate it like that, but with so many of us, kind of in spite of ourselves sometimes, we find our security in things other than Jesus, other than the Lord. We find our security in what we have. And so this is why he prays this. Don't let me be rich. I might forget you. I might forget to go to you daily. I might not put my trust in you, but put my trust in my stuff and in my wealth. My goodness. Could you pray that prayer? In the sincerity of your heart, could you go before God and say, God, I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be rich. I just want you. Jesus, I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be rich. I don't want to find my security in anything other than you. I mean, goodness gracious, what do we call it? We call it financial security. How about security in Jesus? Now, listen, if I've talked about this subject before. It's like, am I bashing? Don't have a retirement. Don't have a... I'm not saying that. I am saying that this is an issue worth wrestling over. Collecting more for ourselves than we need while neglecting the needs of others. My goodness, that's greed. That's greed. There's this... I've referenced this before. Mother Teresa, she was interviewed by a guy from the BBC who happened to be an atheist, and he traveled with her for a while, and he said, why? You've seen such poverty, Mother Teresa. Why would God allow this to happen? And she said to him, don't you go blaming God for this. This is people. This is greed. There's more than enough to go around. Greed is the problem. Greed is one of these things that keeps people away from Jesus, that keeps people away from church. Churches often are accused of just being after your money. Some of you know people in your life. Some of you know people who are very close to you, neighbors, people in your circle who won't walk through the doors of a church, who won't connect to worship because, they're just after my money. And that's a really ugly perception that exists about church. But I tell you what, there are some churches that are like that. There's a reason that exists. And so from the beginning of Hope Community Church, we've made a very intentional effort to make people know, to help people understand. That's not what we're about. If anything, we want to be givers and senders to this community. We want to bless this community. We want to give to this community, not collect from it. That's important. And so this is a very difficult topic to talk about, greed, but I tell you what, you, the people of Hope Community Church, you have made this an easier topic for me to discuss because as a collective, you have a reputation, Hope. Do you know this? You have a reputation for being generous. You have a reputation for being givers, for not being greedy. I mean, every year we got to raise all this money to send people over to Kenya, to save lives over in Kenya, and every year you give, you sacrifice, you make that happen. I mean, just earlier in the announcements, I referenced the fact that you're giving beyond what we need because you are a generous group of people. We need to keep going in that direction. We can't give in to greed. And I think the first step in this is acknowledging that all of us, however much or however little you have, all of us need to realize that greed can sneak into our hearts. So my challenge for you today, I'm not going to challenge you to go pray in this prayer yet, okay, right? We got to walk before we can run. That's a big thing. My challenge for you today is to answer the question, could you pray this prayer? Could you pray this? What would it take to get you to the point where you could pray this prayer in sincerity of your heart? God, don't give me poverty. Don't give me riches. Just give me you. Let's pray on that. Father God, we thank you for giving us something that in our own sinfulness we do not deserve. Clearly we do not deserve. Lord Jesus Christ, you came into this world, you sacrificed yourself, you paid back a debt that we could not pay back. You did something for us we could not do for ourselves. You paved the way that we could receive forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Thank you for that act of extreme generosity. Father God, keep greed far from our hearts and give us the courage and, more importantly, the faith to be able to pray like this man, to be able to go before you and God and just ask you, don't give me riches, don't give me poverty, just give me you. Lord Jesus Christ, you are who we need, and we find our security in you. In your name we pray. Amen.